Okay, back in January, we had a leadership retreat at Stone Mountain. And all the leaders of the church were there, the ministry staff, elders, deacons, shepherding couples, family group leaders, and some young guns who aspire to be those things. In one of the sessions, we broke up by ministry group, youth and family and campus and Spanish and single and so on, and we did a SWOT analysis. Steve Galbraith led us through, not a special weapons and tactics analysis, but a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats analysis for each of our groups. That's what we did. And one of the consistent messages from almost every group, if not every group, was a need for better discipling relationships. That was a need that was felt by your leaders across the whole church, basically. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's my topic. My literal topic is, what does a discipling relationship look like? Yes. What does that look like? Where am I? What should be happening when we get discipling from one another? My goal tonight is to equip us, is to give us some very practical things to do in our discipling relationships. And some of you may be already doing these things. Amen. This will just be encouragement. But the idea is to paint a very, very precise picture. So I won't be covering everything, but I'll just give y'all a few things that you can put into your discipling relationships to make them better. And, these goals help us get to heaven. These relationships help us get to heaven. They help us become more like Jesus. We need good discipling relationships in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
One caveat before we dig in. Gary has been teaching the Galatians class on Sunday, right?
Yes.
And we are saved by our faith in the grace of God, right?
Yes.
So the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is loving each other, how to do that better.
Yeah.
You know, Alan's class last January was about the men's class a month ago tonight. 1 John. And how you can know you're saved? Yes, by loving each other was one of them, right? So that's what we're talking about tonight, loving each other. So, tonight is we're not to go out of here tonight thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not saved because I'm not doing some of these things Steve talked about. That is not the goal tonight, okay? You are as saved now as you will be walking out tonight, as you were, you know, this morning, as you'll be tomorrow. So that your salvation isn't going to change by the class tonight. But the class tonight is just to help us to have better discipling relationships, amen?
Amen?
And to have more confidence in our salvation, which we should have. Okay, the goal tonight is to help each other get to heaven. And what would Steve Collier say about getting to heaven?
It's a good thing.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I want to go to heaven, okay? And anything that helped me get to heaven, that's a good thing too.
Yes.
That's a good thing too. So we're talking about a good thing tonight. A good thing. So, don't be overwhelmed. I mean, I'm going to list 4 or 5 things. You know, you don't have to go in your next discipling time and do all 5. Okay? Just pick one and do that, and then pick another one and do that. And, you know, and you just build your discipling relationships to make them stronger. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Matthew 28. Where is a good place to start in a discipling relationship, okay? Well, actually, if you don't have one, a good place to start is to get one.
Right.
But assuming you have one, you know, maybe you've been hanging out, but maybe it's not as spiritual as you want it to be. Where's a good place to start?
Right.
You want to help someone to grow? You want to grow and be receptive to someone helping you grow. So where's a good place to start? Well, a good place to start is the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Verse 18, we all know it. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, how many people in here became disciples and got baptized?
Come on.
Okay, just about everybody. Some of the younger folks haven't yet. Amen. I pray they will one day soon do that in their lives and take it seriously. But that's where most of us are. We're baptized disciples of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So what does he say we do from that point forward to the very end of the age? We teach each other to obey all that Jesus commanded us.
Yeah.
And that right there, that's a snapshot of a discipling relationship. What Jesus says right here. Once we become a disciple, we're baptized, you know, then for the rest of our lives, we're teaching each other to obey everything that Jesus commanded us, including the verse about making disciples. Yeah, that's one of them. But there are, you know, many others. And that's you know, a snapshot. That's a discipling relationship right there, teaching each other to obey the commands of Jesus. So how do you do that? Well, you use the Bible. That's where you can find the commands of Jesus, right here in this book. In most of the books, they're in red, so they're pretty easy to find. Okay? I had a friend in law school, he used to call it the pale green. I don't know why, he thought he was being irreverent, I guess. You know, the words of the Bible in pale green. I don't know why he said that, but anyway, it's in red in most Bibles, not green. And that's where you can find the commands of Jesus or the other commands of God that are in the Bible, whether literally the words of Jesus or Paul or Moses or somebody else. But they're in there. And we should be using the Word of God in our discipling relationships.
Amen.
The Scriptures can really help us. Share them with each other. You know, share your quiet times, what you're learning in the Bible. You know, think about it. The other person needs this. Well, find a Scripture that will help him with that. He needs to be more disciplined. Well, find a Scripture on discipline. He needs to be more loving. Find a Scripture on that. If he's married, he needs to be a better husband. Show him some Scriptures on that, you know, and be receptive to that yourself. Yeah. I'm struggling with this, bro. Give me a Scripture on this. What helps you? You know, find out what helps the other person.
Amen.
And learn from them. So use Scriptures in our discipling relationships.
Amen.
I got a rap for you. You ready?
Spit it.
Kick it.
Advice is nice, but the word must be heard. Okay, that's as far as I can go. But I have certain ethnic limitations. But anyway, you know, advice is good, and I get advice from godly men, and that's always helpful. And the Bible tells us to do that, you know. But far more powerful is the Word of God.
That's right.
Far more powerful is what the Bible says. And so when we share that with each other, we're sharing the authority of Jesus or the Word of God. It's not just our opinion.
That's right.
You know, we're sharing the Bible. No, you should stop beating your wife. You know, you can show them that in the Scriptures. You know, no one's really doing that, I hope. You know, that's something that Steve Galbraith and I have a discipling relationship, and we use the Scriptures with each other. Not every time we get together, but we use it. You know, in recent times, in recent weeks and months, Steve has talked a lot about the Scriptures that talk about seeking peace in your relationships.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Scriptures on that, especially spiritually mature people are supposed to be seeking to be at peace with other people.
Wow.
You know, even when there's conflict, you know, that needs to be the goal. And he's been talking with me a lot about that. I am not a naturally, that is not my inclination. You know, I want to have conflict. I want to argue. I've been trained to do that. I do that for a living. You know, I don't, you know, peace? What are you talking about? You know, so that is something I need to grow in and learn. Amen?
Amen.
So we use the Bible in our discipling relationships. That's one thing. Next time you get together, you know, pull out the Bible and use some Scriptures.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, maybe I'll pause right there. Any comments? Thoughts about using the Bible?
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Later in the lesson, I'm going to teach you the opposite of it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it is valuable. It's training ourselves. It's sometimes it's much easier just to say things, just to say words, but it takes time, it takes thought to turn to the Bible and make sure you look at the right Scripture. It also challenges us personally to make sure we know the Scriptures to be able to help each other. But when somebody gives me something through the Bible, it does have a lot more impact on my heart than if somebody just gives me something verbally.
Amen. Yes. Amen. That carries that authority. It's God speaking to us.
Yep.
Ephesians 5. How many people here want to become mature in Christ?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just about everybody. A couple people didn't raise their hands, but maybe it'll come to them later. You know, we all want to become like Jesus. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 11.
All right.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Yeah. I said to use the Bible, so, you know, you got to use it. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature, the fullness in Christ. It was a typo in my notes. There it is. Okay. So that's the goal, to become like Jesus. That's mature manhood. Mature manhood is not to become like Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody. Mature manhood is to become like Jesus Christ, the most influential person who ever lived. What year is it? 2014. From what? 2014 years from the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's who we want to become like. That's who is our Lord. That's who we want to be. And he says here, one way we do that is that the leaders in the church help us do that. You know, we have Richard, our evangelist, and he preaches the word almost every Sunday, frequently on Thursday night too. He's equipping us, helping us become more mature. We have elders, shepherds, and teachers. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm up here teaching, trying to shepherd, help us to be have better discipling relationships. Amen. Gary's been teaching Galatians to us to help us be strong in the grace. Now that's what we have leaders for, is to do that. That's one of the ways we grow. But what? Let's read on verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. Okay, a couple of things here I want to zero in on. Verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love. Amen. In our discipling relationships, we have to have love. Amen. That is the most important thing to have, is to have love. We must love each other. Our goal must be to help the other person, to think about the other person's best interests. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, that no matter how smart we are, how wise we are, you know, we're just a clanging gong if we don't have love. And just like one of Charlie Brown's teachers, wah, 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 wah. It doesn't really matter how wise or insightful or even right it might be. If love isn't there, it's just a clanging gong. And so we have to have love in our discipling relationships. Amen. Again, we can't be harsh, rude. We have to be patient and kind. You know, this is something I have to grow in. You know, I don't mind speaking the truth. I don't mind being kind of strong with people. But it's really having that love, having that gentleness, having that patience, having that kindness, really thinking about the other person's best interest and what will help them most. That's harder for me. And that's something I've had to grow in through the years and still today. So we have to speak to one another in love. I also have a discipling relationship with Mike Rao. We had lunch today. And Mike always emphasizes the need to build friendship with each other as you try to influence each other to be more like Jesus. And that's right. You know, we need to really be friends with each other so we can trust each other. So that we can, really be willing to listen to each other. I mean, we ought to be willing to listen anyway to someone who's telling us the truth. But it's easier if we have that love. It's easier to hear it when you know the other person loves you. So we need to have that. We need to have the love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The other thing we need to do is we need to speak the truth.
Right.
We need to speak the truth.
Amen.
Just loving all the time without speaking the truth will be good, but it won't quite finish the job. He says here, Paul says here, we need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth to one another. We can't shrink back from saying what the other person needs to hear. And on the other side, we can't shrink back from receiving what we need to hear. Mm-hmm. And being receptive to it.
Yep.
Being willing, inviting. You know, yep. What do I need to grow? Yep. What do you see in me? Am I handling this the right way? You know, we should be making it easy on each other to speak the truth. Yeah. So that it's not hard, so we don't have to, you know, sit somebody down and say, you need to listen to me, you know. But where we're being receptive, where we're willing to hear the truth. Yeah. You know, and the truth, like Nietzsche talked about, circumstances can be uncomfortable. The truth can be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth about ourselves can sometimes be uncomfortable. You know, it sometimes rocks our world a little bit. You know, we don't see ourselves sometimes the way other people do. We're not really objective. You know, most people around us, they can see us more clearly than we can. And so, you know, actually that input is good. We're, you know, we're keeping our self-image in line with reality. But that can be unpleasant. That can be uncomfortable. Especially when sin is involved. You know, we get self-deceived, we don't see it. And so we need to be willing to listen, willing to hear, receptive. And we have to be willing to do it. You know, we have to be willing to take that risk and talk about that uncomfortable thing with our brothers in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think this is, you know, maybe the biggest thing missing in our discipling relationships is really speaking the truth in love to each other. Mm-hmm. Really with that goal to help each other grow, to help each other mature in Christ. Because we don't want to go where it's uncomfortable. You know, we just want to hang out and have a good time. And we don't want to take that extra step. But that's what we need to do. And then he also says here, when each part is working properly. You know, I started out talking about the leaders, but he's saying here we all have to do it.
Amen.
We all have to do it. And you can do it. If you're sitting there thinking, I can't do that. No, you can do it. All of us can do it. And if you've never done it before, well, you can start, you know.
Amen.
Take your first step. Invite that conversation with your discipleship partner. Say, let's speak the truth to each other today. Tell me something you think I need to hear. Or you think about it and come to them with something you think they need to hear. I think that's the biggest thing that we are missing. It's really speaking the truth in love. And there's love. You know, you got to love somebody to want to take that step into saying something uncomfortable. You got to love somebody to want to do that, to really want them to grow. To not want them to stay where they are spiritually without maturing. That's what Jesus did for us. He came and he said some uncomfortable things to people to help them grow. So that's it. We need to be like Jesus and do that.
Amen.
Okay, and as we all do that, as each part is doing that, then the church will grow. That's what it says. As each part is doing, the leaders do our part, then all of us do our part, then that's what makes the church grow. That's what builds the church up in love. Okay, comments, thoughts here. Deep, y'all are pondering what I'm saying. Okay. Well, let's move on to something even more fun. James chapter 5. Okay, raise your hand if you'd like to talk about your sin. Okay, one guy said he did. I don't know. Okay, raise your hand if you don't like to talk about your sin. Okay, there we go. Now we got some hands going. Okay, raise your hand if you don't sin at all. Oh, no, no. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, as it is working. Okay. James urges us here to confess our sins
Amen.
To one another.
Amen.
You know, Satan doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to keep it in the dark, to keep things hidden. You know, we're reluctant to do that. You know, we can be ashamed. I don't want to talk about my sin. I don't want people to know what I've done or what I'm, you know, giving into. We don't want someone looking down on us. You know, if I talk about this, someone's going to think less of me. We think we can handle it on our own. Me and God, we'll handle it. Maybe we've been betrayed in the past by someone, you know, we've confided in. And so, you know, that's a legitimate fear. I don't know if I want to do that again because I got burned the last time I tried that. You know, all these things are things we feel when we think about confessing our sin. But James here encourages us to do it. Commands us to do it, actually, and gives us some good reasons why to do it. He says people will pray for us. You know, you confess your sins to someone, you ask them to pray for you. That's a good thing. You know, you have somebody praying for you about your sin. That's a good thing to know, that somebody's in your camp. Someone is helping you. And some of those reasons we don't want to aren't real. You know, people aren't going to look down on us. You know, they're going to want to help us. If it's our brother, if it's a friend, you know, someone we have a discipling relationship with that we love and they love us, they're going to want to help us. And it says here we can be healed. We can be healed when we confess our sins and when we pray for one another. You know, sin damages us. And we need healing, spiritual healing, certainly emotional healing. There can even be physical healing. It's talking about physical sickness. You know, guilt, you know, can make you sick.
Yeah.
You know, it can sort of mess you up. And he's saying when we confess our sins, those things can go away. You know, I think confessing, when I confess, even though I'm reluctant like anybody else, when I do it, it's a relief.
Amen.
You know, I feel better when I confess my sins to a trusted brother. I feel better. You know, everybody sigh. Oh. See, that's how it feels when we get our sin out, when we get it into the light.
Yep.
It's actually better, you know,
yeah.
Bringing light to the situation, not darkness.
Amen.
It's better. It's good. It's healthy. And James says here, we'll be forgiven. Now, we're forgiven if we're disciples of Jesus anyway, just walking around. Just because we fall into a sin doesn't mean suddenly, you know, we've lost our salvation. But James is saying, you know, the individual sin we have committed can be forgiven. And we can feel it. You know, we can know we're forgiven when we confess our sins, when we bring it into the light, when we have someone else praying for us.
Amen.
You know, it feels better. You know you're forgiven, you know. You're the joy of your salvation is restored, as David said.
Amen.
So it's a good thing to do it. You know, even if it's hard to do, you know, we all have sin in our lives. You know, it's not like, well, you know, whoever you're confessing to, they have sin in their life too. Mm-hmm. I find more often not, if I start confessing my sins, the other person immediately starts to want to confess theirs. You know, it's like, because they know they're a sinner too, and someone usually often just needs to break the ice.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Get the conversation going. You know, my personal strongest temptation is lust. And, you know, when I read Romans chapter 7, where Paul is talking about his number one sin, which was covetousness, and just how it consumed him, well, that's lust does that for me. It's been very consuming in my life since I was a teenager. And it's dogged my life. And God has given me tremendous victory.
Amen.
You know, he's given me tremendous victory. Amen.
Amen.
But I can still fall prey to that. And when I do, I need to confess it.
Amen.
You know, it helps me when I confess it. It helps me to get, as I said, to get help from other people, to bring it into the light.
Amen.
So I always go away feeling much better. So if you're feeling weighed down by some unconfessed sin, just decide, I'm going to find my discipleship partner, a trusted brother I'm close to, And I'm going to say, can we talk and just confess your sin?
Amen.
Confess your sin. Ask them to pray for you. Mm-hmm. You'll feel a lot better. And God can work more powerfully in your life when you do that. You can be healed.
Amen.
You know, be specific. You know, don't be vague. You know, but get it out.
Right.
You know, get the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, if you hold things back, then you go away, sometimes still feeling guilty. But get it out there, especially if it's something chronic or habitual that you really struggle with. You know, get help. You know, people will help you. People will help you. We want to help each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts or comments about that one?
I just was thinking about how when you do confess it, it's like the opposite of that is trying to hide it, and Satan just uses that against you, makes you feel even worse, that can carry on for a long time.
Amen. Amen. No fun at all. It's like not getting medicine when you're sick, you know. Headache doesn't go away. Get some help. Amen. Okay. Another thing James says here, I've already mentioned, is to pray for one another. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing we can do in our discipling relationships, is pray for one another.
Amen.
We certainly do it about sin. He also talks here about doing it about illness. You know, some of us have illnesses or we get sick. We can ask people to pray for us.
Right.
You know, but any other needs in our lives. You know, we saw some prayers on the prayer list tonight. You know, we can be praying for each other.
Amen.
And that's something to do in your discipling times. Let's just pray.
Amen.
What can we pray about?
Yep.
You know, what can I pray for you about? Can you pray for me about this?
Right.
You know, Kendall Knight started an email prayer chain every week in the South Teen Parent Family Group. You know, that's an awesome thing where we can be praying for each other.
Amen.
That's is something to do. You know, Richard suggested to me after I became an elder to periodically pray through the entire church directory. So I don't do that like every day or even every week, but a couple times a month I get that out and I go through the entire directory praying for everyone in there. So I pray for all of you guys.
Amen.
And your families. So I'll go through frontwards and then I'll go through backwards. But that's what we need to be doing for each other.
Amen.
You know, is praying for each other, praying especially for our, you know, our closest brothers.
Amen.
You know, and what's going on in their lives? What's going on if they're married? What's going on in their wives' lives or their children's lives? Or, you know, what are they struggling with at school or on the job? Or, you know, we need to be praying for each other. You know, what are the sins they're fighting? You know, be praying about those things.
Amen.
So that's another thing, is to be praying for each other. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. And let's be praying for each other. Okay, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, just a few pages away. Another thing we can do in our discipling relationships is encourage each other.
Amen.
Encourage each other. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read a long chunk, so bear with me, and then we'll talk about it.
Amen.
Verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen?
Amen.
The writer there is emphasizing, you know, our salvation. You know, being confident of our salvation. You know, being assured of it. Having full assurance of faith. Having confidence to draw near to God. He's emphasizing we're saved. And we can feel that we're saved. Know that we're saved. And that we should feel that way. And then he goes on. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So that's what I want to focus on. He talks about encouraging one another, stirring one another up, or spurring one another on. But then he goes on. Verse 26, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God, who has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and the Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." There's a lawyer at my firm. His name is Jonathan Edwards. We always joke, if y'all know the old story. Jonathan Edwards, a Puritan preacher, preached a famous sermon on that verse, "Sinners in the hand of an angry God." We always joke, he's a sinners in the hand of an angry bankruptcy attorney, which is funny. Anyway, it's kind of interesting here that, you know, we started out, he was talking about the confidence of our salvation, and then he talks about encourage one another, and then he concludes with one of the scariest warnings in all of the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of interesting how he bookends encouragement with that. And I think a lot of times we just pick the encouragement scripture out and read it. But in context, we see, I think we can see a little more that he's saying, you know, we want to encourage each other because of all the good things that we have.
Yeah.
The good things that we have in Christ. We're encouraging each other from the point of view of the confidence, the assurance we have in our salvation. You know, this is a good thing we have. You know, and that's why we're encouraging each other. We're spurring one another on, stirring one another up, you know. We can't be just passive about this thing that God has given us.
Amen.
Right? We've been given a great and good thing. We don't go around worried about falling away. That's not the point. But we're fired up about what we have.
Amen.
And we're spurring one another on.
Amen.
But at the same time, we recognize that the stakes are high.
Yeah.
You know, the stakes are high. You know, we need to have an eternal perspective. You know, discipling relationships, encouraging each other, is not just about, you know, hanging out, having a good time, watching a ball game. Although, you know, we do some of those things. I want to do some of those things in my discipling relationships. But it's not just about that. There's a bigger picture. You know, going to heaven is what we're helping each other to do.
Right.
And if someone did wander into sin, and they didn't, you know, and didn't get help with it, and they kept going down that road, and they deliberately kept going down that road, eventually, what he's saying is, eventually they will fall away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And eventually they can lose their salvation.
Right.
You know, it doesn't happen with the first step or even the second one, but that's what he's warning. He's saying, that's what's at stake.
Yeah.
That's why we want to have these relationships.
Amen.
And so it's like none of us start down that road.
Amen.
None of us start down that road where the bad place, where we would have a bad outcome. And notice he says, consider how. In verse, here read the little numbers, 24, consider how. He's saying we need to think about it. You know, you need to think about it. You need to consider in advance when you go to hang out with somebody and have a discipleship time. What am I going to say? What am I going to encourage them with?
Right.
What do they need?
Right.
You know, and what do I need? You know, what questions could I go and ask? You know, Mike and I got together for lunch today, and he had a list of things to talk about. And I had some things to talk about, too. I get with Steve, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes I don't get to my list, depending on, you know, how important the stuff is he wants to talk about, or vice versa. You know, we're always having things we want to talk about, because we're considering in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Steve, you talked about some really good points here, just in terms of encouraging one another. This is really something that I really feel like is really inspiring in terms of getting each other's lives. If you would, can you elaborate, you know, in regards to a family group dynamic or brothers in relationship? What do you envision, what do the elders envision in regard to the encouragement piece? In other words, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, over this, because obviously some brothers, we have more intimate relationships, but also outside of the intimate relationships, how do you envision that on a practical level that we can encourage one another in this time, modern families? What's a great expectation at?
Okay, well, let's look, answer that question. You actually helped me remember something. Right here in the scripture, he says, where is it? And says, encouraging one another, and all the more as you say that, see the day drawing near. So there's an urgency to it. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the day of judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Does it say encourage one another daily in the NIV?
Yeah,
it does. It doesn't say daily in the ESV. That's interesting. But, you know, there's that daily sense to it. You know, and you see that, you know, throughout the New Testament. But there's a, you know, they met together daily. There was a dailiness to their relationships. And I think specifically today I'm talking about individual one-on-one relationships, not family groups so much. But I think our expectation is, you know, you can't have too much contact with your discipling partner. Now, we set a goal, I think, a couple of years ago that we should try to be getting together face-to-face to talk and pray and do the things we're talking about tonight at least twice a month, you know, like every other week. But I think, you know, we can be on the phone a lot more than that.
Amen.
You know, we have tremendous technological advantages over our brothers and sisters in the first century. And, you know, we can text, we can make a phone call, we can leave a message if we don't get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can send an email, we can, you know, Facebook, you know, we got so many ways to encourage each other. There's not almost no excuse for not being in real regular contact. You know, now we all have very busy lives, but I think it would be cool if we could do that much more frequently with each other. You know, how's it going? And Steve and I, we have lunch almost every week unless something goes wrong, you know. You know, every once in a while, like this week, Steve had enormous projects at work and we couldn't do it. But that's almost every week that we get together. And Mike and I, I don't think 2 weeks go by that we don't have lunch. And then we try to get together with our wives from time to time, too. But, you know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, relationships that are regular, consistent, you know, encouraging each other. And all the more, as you say, the day drawing near. Okay. The day is nearer today than it was yesterday.
That's true.
And tomorrow it'll be more nearer than it is today. So I think he's saying our relationships need to get better and better and stronger over time. They don't need to be going down. They need to be going up.
Yeah.
So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. How are we doing? Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. Okay. Recap. What are the points tonight? What does a discipling relationship look like? First thing.
Use the Bible. Teaching each other.
Yeah, use the Bible. Teaching each other to obey the commands of Jesus and the other commands of God. So let's use the Bible in our discipling relationships. Amen?
Amen.
Second thing.
Speak love.
That's right. Love should be crucial to it. They have to love each other. And we have to have each other's best interests at heart. And then,
speaking the truth in love.
Speaking the truth. Okay, not sort of one scripture, but 2 points.
Right.
Speaking the truth in love to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to help each other. Say the things that might be uncomfortable. Right? Okay, next.
Confessing sin.
Confessing sin.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do that. You know, but that's a good thing to do.
Yes.
Right? It's a good thing to do. What's the next thing?
Pray for each other.
You guys are good. Pray for one another. Pray about sin, pray about sickness, pray about other needs that we have. So pray when you're together. You know, pray with each other. Amen.
Amen.
And last,
encourage one another.
Mm-hmm. Encourage one another. Spur one another on. You know, let's help each other to do the good deeds God wants us to do. And the stakes are high, right? We're saved. That's the reason to do it. But we don't want anybody going down the wrong road.
That's right.
We don't want anybody going down that wrong road that has the bad outcome. I told you I was going to tell you the opposite of that's a good thing. The opposite of that's a good thing is that's no fun at all. Anybody ever heard me say that? That's no fun at all. And that, you know, you don't want to be going down that wrong road, because that's no fun at all. And we don't want anyone in here to go down that wrong road.
Yeah.
You know, we want to help each other. No, I don't want you to go down that wrong road. That would be no fun at all. Okay, any final comments? Yes, sir.
The confessing one another and encouraging one another are so tight. I mean, you know, because if you confess your sins quickly, you know, you can get a lot of encouragement to get off that track and not continue to go down the path. And those were the two points that really hit me.
Amen. Yes, sir?
I think what struck me was, when you're talking about praying for one another, it reminded me that repentance is a gift from God. And so when we're caught in sin or caught in something, if we double up on it and have other people praying for us, that grace can come more quickly to our hearts, and we can really entreat God, not just ourselves. We can have somebody else in battle, fighting to have a changed heart. I think for that, you know, that resonates with me.
Amen. Glenn?
I think for me, the passage in Ephesians, we talk about every part doing its part. You know, disciple relationship isn't the only way through.
Right.
It takes two. And it's not about giving up, it's about receiving. And so I thought that was very beneficial for me.
Amen. Chad?
One thing I do is when I have my quiet time in the morning, you know, some of you guys in this room get the email about. I send out an email of what I've studied that morning, and sometimes I get some encouraging emails back. Thanks for the email and, you know, encouraging me and things like that. But I recommend, you know, maybe trying that for everybody.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sir.
The overall thing that I got tonight is that everything, relationships have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. You can't just kind of wander into a disciple type relationship and expect maturity and growth to happen. You have to have a purpose when you spend your time together, when you call somebody or texting somebody.
Amen. Amen.
I know for me, when I go without confessing my sin, I feel more and more guilty. So I confess it. But also, when I look back at that after talking about it, talking to others about it, I realize how my heart was getting hard. It chokes up every area of my life. I think it's really good to just identify it quickly. And it also helps me realize just how much my brothers care about me. Whenever they call me back, like Ron just said, they're being intentional about it. Show me how intentional they are.
Amen. Well, we need to wrap it up. So, Ben, can you close us with a prayer?
Father, I pray that you just help us all to really reflect on and apply these different principles, God, to having good discipling relationships.
Amen.
So that we can be more like Jesus, so that we can help each other get to heaven, God. And I pray that we really think about how we can use these different things to help one another. It's in your holy name I pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.